Well, as our sinuses are telling some of us, it's springtime. And high school juniors and seniors are attending their proms. And so we could say love is in the air, right? Do you remember your first true love? And it may not have been a person. It might have been a song or a book or a place that rocked your young world. I was a senior at Westminster in Atlanta, and after a football game, a girl I admired came up and asked if I'd like to join her, go to her house for a party. And I said, well, first, let me let you know, that had never happened to me before, but I did say, yes, absolutely. And when I got there, I found out what she had really said was, do you want to come to my house with Marty? Marty being a girlfriend of hers. And the three of us sat around listening to records, and it wasn't long before I was completely smitten with Susan. And of course, at this point, this is where preachers normally say, well, that's cute and precious, but you know, real love, mature love, is the love of those married 40 or 50 or 60 years. It's the fierce love of a mother for her children. True love requires commitment and sacrifice for better or worse. This is what God is really interested in, not that superficial first love stuff. While there's a lot of truth in that, I want to make a different point. It was in the experience of first love that it became clear to me that love is something that happens to us. I could no more generate that experience in myself than I could have bench-pressed my mother's Ford Fairlane station wagon, which was my chariot for my dates. Love happens to us so that love may happen through us. Look at the disciples. Jesus meets them where they are. He comes to the fishermen on the beach. He goes to the tax collector at his booth. Jesus loves Mary Magdalene and heals her of 7 demons before she loves him. Christ came to you long before you showed up in church, whether you know it or not. Jesus says in the gospel today, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus also says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So he first chose us, he first loved us, and the love that flows between the Father and the Son and the communion of the Spirit flows over the disciples and rocks their world. They are as undone and overwhelmed by Jesus as any of us have ever been by falling in love. When we read the Bible, we're always tempted, being human beings, to make the people in the story the center of the action. And when we do that in today's gospel, we're likely to make the focus of the gospel this line, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." We want to focus on us. But the whole sentence is, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. God is always the center of the action. You and I can wake up any given morning, as I've often said, feeling zero love. At least I certainly can. Maybe we're angry. Maybe we're burnt out. Maybe we're exhausted. Maybe we don't even like ourselves at that moment. And it's really hard. You can't command someone feeling like this to love. Well, you can command it, but you're not going to get it. It does little good to say things like, shape up and be nice. Like maybe some of us said to our teenagers, or our parents said to us when we were in a foul mood. Our best strategy, of course, with ourselves and with others, is to remember how much we are loved by God. For only God's love can break through the illusion that we are unloved and unlovable. Love happens to us before it happens through us. Therefore, I think the central command in this passage and the week before, which was the first part of this in John 15, the central passage is not to love others. The central point is abide in my love. It all starts there. Some of you may be wondering, what happened to my first love, my senior year? Well, maybe it just ran its course, you know, as so often happens. But it's also true that she was a grade behind me. And after I graduated, I got ready to go off to the University of Georgia. I was going to be a BMOC. You know what that is, right? A big man on campus. Some great looking new clothes. And of course, at Georgia, I would be surrounded by thousands of Georgia peaches who would see how special I was. Well, you already know, this is not exactly what happened. The 60s and the protest against the war finally showed up at the University of Georgia in the fall, and then, of course, in the spring was the shooting at Kent State, and no one ever wore nice clothes ever again. And apparently the co-eds did not get the memo about my arrival on campus. You could say, though, that what happened to my first love is that I traded it in hope of something better. As good as it was, oh, there's got to be something better out there. Biblically, when we do this to God, it is called idolatry. It's what happens when we abandon the one who loves us and chooses us from before the foundation of the world. We end up chasing after false gods and false goals who do not and cannot love us, much less save us. God keeps loving us. God keeps faithful even when we are faithless. But the good news is every day we can abide in Christ's love by simply remembering his radical acceptance of us. On Sundays, today, that love becomes visible to us in word and in sacrament, in song and prayer, in bread and wine, in our caring for each other. And there's a profound comfort in that, isn't there, in abiding in the love of Christ. One of the songs our fabulous bell choir played yesterday at the confirmation was the hymn, Abide With Me. There's a line from that I learned years ago, even before I knew the hymn, that goes, change and decay all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. A lot of comfort in that. But make no mistake, there is also a profound challenge to us when we abide in the love of Christ. You remember, some of you Episcopalians from long ago will remember the hymn, They Cast Their Nets, and it describes what Christ's love and peace does to the disciples. One line goes, contented, peaceful fishermen, before they ever knew the peace of God that filled their hearts, brimful, and broke them too. There's a challenge here. I heard that Friday. I went down to a lecture series at the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge. And the guest speaker, the lecturer, was Sister Simone Campbell. You may have noticed her. She's been interviewed countless times through the years on all the national news networks. She's even been interviewed by Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. She's most famous for her role in the protest in 2012 called Nuns on the Bus. Any of you heard of Nuns on the Bus? Some of you. It's a group of nuns that got on a bus, clear so far, and they went across the country, stopping at homeless shelters and food pantries and schools and healthcare facilities run by nuns to highlight their work with the nation's poor and the disenfranchised, and to protest cuts in programs to the poor and working families in the federal budget. She said to us Friday, We live in a time of profound individualistic isolation. And that isolation makes us afraid. We become fearful when we're alone. She says it's like we're trapped in a tomb, like Jesus trapped in the tomb on Holy Saturday after Good Friday. The love of Christ, however, removes that stone and calls us to come out. To come out into the world, experience the radical acceptance of God for us, and to share that radical acceptance with the world. She says the stone that holds us in the tomb, of course, is our hard heart. But that as we abide in Christ, our heart melts. We are set free to recognize, as she said, that now everyone has a claim on our hearts. And who is everyone? Does she really mean everyone? She showed a photograph of a young woman named Margaret. I think she was from Michigan, who in 2010 died of colon cancer. And the disease had run through her family, but when she lost her job, in those days she lost her health care, lost the ability to have the screening necessary to catch the cancer early, and she died a young woman. Abiding in Christ, Sister Simone says, means we will be able to weep. To weep for Margaret and the millions of working poor in this country and the billions of the profoundly poor around the world who suffer needlessly. Love is in the air. I think the title of the movie, one of the Richard Curtis movies I love, Love actually is everywhere. It says in there, Jesus today calls us to abide in His love. There's a great 14th century mystic, Lady Julian of Norwich. She puts it this way. She said, God loves us before He made us, and His love has never diminished and never shall. She said, our Savior is our true mother, in whom we are endlessly born, and out of whom we shall never come. So today, blessings on all our mothers, on all of us here who have and had mothers, on those who are caught up, I don't know, maybe in these front pews, in their first love. Love happens to us, so it can happen through us. And there will be weeping involved. Amen.